Turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This isn't just a historic event being recorded. God gave us this, His Word. This is to us. Sure, it talks about a lot of people, but this is a document written by God to you and I. Hebrews chapter 11 was written for mine and your benefit, that we might learn. 1 Corinthians talks about that they're written for admonition, that they're written for examples, for examples, in 1 Corinthians 10. This is not simply a historic event. We're not simply reading about some people that honored God many years ago. We're reading about a people of faith, and we're reading about their God. That's what we're really reading about. When we see these men of faith and these women of faith that did great things, what are we reading about? We're reading about their God. Their God. Because their God was faithful and their God did provide. Hebrews 11 is written to encourage people that are suffering trials and hardships to place their faith in the Lord. It's an encouragement to us to place our faith in the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the lesson. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, we're thankful as we read the account of men and women of faith. We read of the mighty God that they served and the mighty God that we still serve today. Lord, help us to understand that this is a document written for our learning, for our admonition, for an example and an ensample for us, that we through our lives might honor you as well as they did. Lord, I pray for your word today. I pray for your people today. I pray for the power of your word, the power of your spirit, to go forth, Lord, to give us understanding of your word and help us apply it as you would have it applied in our lives. Lord, pray for our pastor this morning over at the Evans Chapel. Pray for power in the ministry. Pray for the different Sunday school teachers. Lord, might your spirit have free course in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We'll be moving between Genesis and Hebrews, so we'll be bouncing back and forth between those two sections, so you might want to hang on to each of those. We'll start in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, reading verses 1-3. I don't know. Maybe it'll help. I don't know. I drank it all. Would you please, Terry? Thank you. Genesis 12, 1-3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To live by faith is a requirement. Thank you, Terry. To live by faith is a requirement of the Christian life. No one can come to the Lord except by faith. There is no way to live the Christian life apart from faith. There's not. There's no way. Because what happens? Things come up. Hard things come up. They come up with our children. Those are probably the hardest things. You get a phone call and the kids are going through a trial. Is the Lord building in their lives? Yeah, he is. Is he getting them ready to for a greater time in their lives? Yes, he is. But is it hard for us? Yes, it is. It's hard trials that come our way. We cannot live the Christian life apart from faith. Life can be hard. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Life can be hard, but God is good. And that's what we found out as we go back through our lives. We've seen times where things have been hard, but God has been good. And we need to never forget, life is hard, but God is good. God is good. If you have journaled throughout your life the goodness of God, you see how he's been faithful. You get a phone call one minute and the kids are up against it, and you're thinking, Lord, I just pray that you work. And a couple minutes later, the phone rings, and you never believe what God just did. Yeah, I believe it because I've seen him do it in my life. But this is a testimony of our God. It is impossible to please God without faith. We have to live a life of faith. We have to follow him by faith. We consider now the man Abraham in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 19. Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, 8, we see that Abraham, by faith, was called to go into a land which he should have to receive for an inheritance. He didn't know where he was going. The Lord called him out. And as Brother Brian said, he obeyed. In verse 9, we see that by faith he sojourned in that land of promise and trusted God for it. And then in verse 17, by faith he offered up Isaac. He didn't withhold anything. He gave all to the Lord. Now, the Lord doesn't have us today to offer up our children. That's not for us. In fact, as we see there, the Lord didn't even have him offer him. But Abraham was willing. He was willing. The Lord points to us in the life of Abraham so that we might witness his expression of faith in God and look beyond Abram's faith to the one he placed his faith in, the Almighty God. The Almighty God. When things go wrong in our lives, what's the first things we do? Our tendency is to put these hands into action. I can fix this. I can make this better. When probably our first action should be, Lord, I need your help. What do we do here? I can remember when my kids were little and I had my work ring off and it was on a set of keys, and I went down to the local party store or corner store, whatever you'd call it here. And that set of keys came up missing. I thought my wedding ring was on that set of keys. Now it's gone. And I drove with another set of keys home or something. I don't remember all the details now. It was many years ago. We got home and my little girl said, well, Dad, why don't we pray about it? I thought, pray about it? Those lousy scums down at that store have taken that ring by now. It's already at the pawn shop, and it's gone. What do you mean, pray about it? The ring came back. It was, and I don't remember all the details, but I had the ring after that. But a little girl had to say that. Well, why don't we pray? I thought, pray? You kidding? That money's being spent by now. But it came back. As a little girl, she knew to pray. She knew where the answer lay. It lay in an almighty God. He can protect that gold down at the local corner store. He can do that. We got to trust him. He's a great God. Notice what the Bible says of Abraham. Abraham in James 21 through 23. Abraham entered into such communion with God that he was called the friend of God. The friend of God. What a testimony of a man that he would be called the friend of God. Genuine faith is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. People talk about our faith like it is based on nothing. Our faith isn't based on nothing. It's based on an almighty God that throughout history has shown himself strong and faithful to those that sought him. To Abraham, God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who sees the need and then provides. Genesis 17:1. God promised Abraham that he and his wife Sarah would have a son, and God kept his promise. God kept his word. In Genesis 18:1-14, the Lord appeared to Abraham in verse 1. Verse 10, he says, Sarah, thy wife shall conceive and shall bear a son. Aren't we too old for that at this point? No, because with God, verse 14, anything is possible. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And it's not. It's not. Our God is a great God, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the power of God. Adam's obedience. On page 18 of your lesson, Adam's obedience. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Abraham obeyed God. He sensed his call from God in his soul, and he was awakened, and he followed the Lord. Think of Abraham's conversion this way. He came out of a heathen civilization, placing his faith in a living God. God requires obedience. God requires obedience. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. God requires obedience. Why has he commanded all men everywhere to repent? Because he's not willing, according to 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Man must obey God. God deals with us when we are surrounded by people who do not have faith in him. They not only do not have faith in him, they speak out against him and sometimes totally ignore him. But we are called to follow him, to obey him, and to demonstrate the reality of him through our lives. Demonstrate that reality when people look at us. Is it very apparent that we truly believe in our God? Is it very apparent to them? Abraham's outlook. Our outlook determines our actions. And certainly it does. Our outlook determines our actions. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. Abraham looked for a city with foundations whose builder and maker was God. Abraham went out. He dwelt in tents, and he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. His outlook was to be a tent dweller, a nomad, a stranger, a pilgrim. He knew this world was not his home. The true believer is a stranger of this world. This world is a stranger to him. However, most people place such deep roots here and behave as if they were going to be here forever. And we do that. We make our homes and we make our nest and we do all that. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we haven't lost the heavenly vision that this isn't where we're staying. This is the place we're going to be for a while until we move on to glory. Abraham had the right outlook. The Bible continues by telling us in Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. It was about her God. She judged him faithful that indeed he can do this. This is about her relationship with her God. She had the outlook her husband had, and she found strength in that outlook. How wonderful it is to be able to serve the Lord and believe God alongside of your mate. In Genesis 21:6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all may know and that all may laugh with me. The joy that God brought that joy. There is joy in serving Jesus. There is joy in serving Jesus. As we continue in our lives and as history continues, our world is moving away from God. We saw legislation this week go through. Our world is moving away from God. Our world hates God. They hate God. They're not just happy to be whatever they want to be. They have to inflict that on Christians and on everyone else. And this battle of sin that we fight. It's a battlefield, brother. Lester Roloff used to sing that song. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It is. It's a battlefield. It's a battle. The battles we lose them in our books of education. 20-some-odd years ago, the story problems in the math books talked about John and Jim being married and how they're going to handle their finances. And the story problems were that in the math class. And I can remember years ago reading about this in these textbooks. We've been slouching towards Gomorrah for a long time. Man is going away from God. It is amazing all that God has done for man, and yet man does nothing in return. In fact, man lashes out against God. Abraham's offering. Hebrews 11:16-18, the Lord said, I want you to offer your only son. Remember, if Isaac is cut off, if Isaac dies, all the promise is gone. All the promise that God has given is gone if Isaac dies. All that God had promised would be cut off. The messianic line is cut off. The blessing of the seed is cut off. But God said, take him and offer him. By faith, Abraham offered his son. In Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, the test comes. I want you to take your son, and I want you to offer him. The test comes. Genesis 22, verses 3 and 4. He gets up early in the morning. He's ready to go. I'm going to obey God. He gets up early in the morning. We've got to get this done. We've got to obey. We've got to do this. Verse 5. Turn with me to Genesis 22:5. I'll tell you what, this verse is amazing. Aren't they all? Genesis 22:5. The faith of Abraham here is amazing. Genesis 22:5. Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go. will worship, and will come again to you. Me and the boy are going to go. Me and the boy are going to make the sacrifice, and me and the boy are coming back. What faith? Humanly, you say, wait a minute. Once you make the sacrifice, the boy doesn't come back with you. When Abraham looked at at the servants and said, you guys wait here. Me and the boy are going to go. We're going to make the sacrifice. We're going to come back. What faith? That's faith. Abraham knew without any doubt that that boy was coming back. Abraham knew he was going to make the sacrifice. Those two don't go together, do they? Can you do both of those? Can you make the sacrifice and bring the boy back? Dad, you can bring him back. Abraham knew that his God was faithful, and that if the boy's life were taken, that God would raise him right back up. What a truth that Abraham knew. Our God is big enough to do that. Our God is able to do that. We serve a big God. Verse 5, the boy says, where's the sacrifice? We got the wood, we got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And what does Abraham say? Y'all know it. What does he say? God will provide himself a sacrifice. Wow. What a truth. What a blessing. Abraham believed God. 100% without any doubt. I and the lad will go, will sacrifice, and I and the lad will return. There it is, right there, verse 5. And we will come again to you. We serve a great, mighty God. We serve a holy God. We serve a God that is worthy. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God is worthy of our lives. God is worthy of our children. Have you given your kids to the Lord? Right now, if the Lord said, I want to take your kids to some missionary place out in the middle of a jungle where there's no running water, no electricity, no nothing, what would you say? Lord, yeah, let them give up that good job where they're making good money and have health insurance and have all these things that are so important to us as people. Would you give them up? Mrs. Raybert and I give up our kids every day. When they were little, we gave them up. By God's grace, in 2 years, they'll be in the Philippines for the rest of their life to witness to the Philippines, to the Filipinos. We gave them up. Do they have the healthcare system we have? No, they don't. Do they have all the amenities that we have? No, they don't. Would we let them go? I'd let them go in a heartbeat. I'd let them go in a heartbeat. Because there is no place that you want to be except in God's will. No place you want to be except in God's will. Abraham obeyed. We ought to obey. He kept nothing back. We ought to keep nothing back. God is worthy. God is worthy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your Son, holding nothing back, going to the cross, nailing our sins to the cross, making us righteous before God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.